engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter said to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother or children or lands, for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Benedict from the 6th century in Norcia, Italy, he was born, and he was attracted to a life of solitude, silence, spent some time just as a hermit, and then founded monasteries. In fact, he wrote what is called The Rule. What is the way of spiritual life, of seeking God, of living in community, for the purpose of being a sign and a stimulus in the world for people to seek deeper union with God and holiness? He founded the famous monasteries, and this work and life, foundation and writing of Saint Benedict have become cornerstone treasures in the church for what we call the religious life. Now, I just want to give you some reflections about what this kind of life is, drawn from this gospel passage. And it is a very big topic in the church, and it is filled with diversity and beauty, variety, and it's like a kaleidoscope of the Holy Spirit. There are within the church, of course, clergy and laity. That's one distinction. Those of us who are ordained, the deacons, the priests, the bishops, the priests being the ones that are offering the sacrifice of the Mass. Of course, a bishop is also a priest. And that's one distinction. But both among clergy and laity, you have people who embrace what's called the religious life. And they take vows. They make promises of different kinds to chastity, poverty, and obedience. Now, these are called the evangelical councils. The Lord spoke in the Gospels about those, for example, who renounce marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And then here in his words to Peter, he speaks about those who have given up houses and land, so embracing a certain form of poverty, voluntary poverty. And then, of course, father, mother, children, land, children, going into a different kind of life, entering a community of brothers and sisters and renouncing the gift of marriage. Now, you see, there's a wide spectrum of religious life. There's many, many, many different types of communities. There are the ones that Saint Benedict founded and those that have become offshoots using the Benedictine rule. And then you have many, many others, Franciscans and Jesuits, Salesians. I myself was a Salesian for a while. When I first decided to enter the seminary right after high school, because my parish, my home parish, was run by the Salesians of St. John Bosco, I decided to go to the Salesian seminary. So I was in religious life. I professed the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience as a brother. I was Brother Frank before I was Father Frank. But that was during my college years. And then after finishing, I did my novitiate. I was in temporary vows for 3 years. The Salesians have a special charism of working with the young and schools and retreat centers and so forth. But after having served with them for that period of time. With the help of my religious superiors, I discerned that what I was looking for was the diocesan priesthood. And so I transferred and went into Dunwoody for the Archdiocese of New York. But the point I'm making is there's many different religious communities, and there are all different degrees or forms of the religious life and the structure by which people embrace these vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But what is, spanning all the different variety, what is the thing that is common to this whole way of life? First of all, it is renouncing marriage, renouncing earthly possessions, renouncing to a deeper extent one's freedom, is not because those things are wrong or bad or dirty. Let's get that cleared up right away. People who become monks, people who become religious brothers and sisters, make vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and live in community, are not saying no to marriage because marriage is bad. They're not saying no to physical intimacy because it's dirty. It's actually holy. It's created by God. Marriage is a tremendous gift of the Lord. Family, a tremendous gift of the Lord. Children, my goodness, the fruit of the womb, Scripture is constantly praising as a gift of the Lord. So we don't look down on these things, earthly possessions. We don't look down on earthly possessions as if there's some kind of inherent evil to them. Somebody who owns a lot of possessions can be a saint. So we're not, you know, and these possessions can be and are supposed to be stepping stones to God, stepping stones to holiness, especially because we're using them in the service of others and of the kingdom. So the renunciation of marriage, the renunciation of possessions, and the renunciation of a large degree of one's freedom, where instead of doing basically what one chooses to do, you submit yourself in a community to a superior and you have to ask permission for a lot of things, and going here or going there or visiting family, and you live this life of obedience, doesn't mean that the legitimate freedom that we all exercise to do good things, not evil things, doesn't mean that that's bad. What does it mean when people are doing this? They are being a sign and a stimulus to all of us to do what we are all called to do. And that is to put God first, to be totally dedicated to Him, and to put our heart and our hope in His kingdom, which is present now and which will blossom fully in the future after death. Understand, a person, religious brother, sister, or priest, is going before the Lord and saying, "Lord, marriage is a beautiful gift that you have established. But in the life to come, as Jesus said, we will not marry or be given in marriage, because marriage itself is a sign, O Lord, of the union that you have with your people, the marriage of Christ and the church. And so, Lord, what this is really all pointing to is a profound, intimate union with you. And so now, in the midst of this world where we do marry and are given in marriage, and where marriage is a sign of the kingdom itself, we're going to forego marriage and consecrate ourselves directly to you here and now as a sign of the way it's going to be for all of us in the world to come. So that, O Lord, by my consecration to you, I can be within the church a reminder to the rest of the church and the rest of the world where we're heading. A reminder of where we're heading, and a reminder of who has to be number one in their life right now. You who are married, you know, there's a Christian love song for married people called love song for number two. And it's spouse singing to spouse, "You are my number two." Because for the Christian, there's only one number one. The one who said, "Unless you love me more than your family, you are not worthy of me." God is number one for all of us. And so some people in the church consecrate themselves in their religious life now so explicitly, exclusively to God, renouncing marriage, not because marriage is bad, but because where we are all heading and what is the key relationship we all have to have right now is a life where God is number one, and in the life to come, God will be all in all. Not only that, but you know, we hear about this vow of chastity. Well, we all have to live the virtue of chastity. For the person in the religious life, they renounce all sexual activity whatsoever. But for a married person, you have to be chaste also. What chastity means is not simply the renunciation of sexual activity. It's about the integration of sexual activity into whatever our vocation in life is. So a married person, spouse with their spouse, have the privilege of engaging in that physical intimacy, and that's where the virtue of chastity is lived. The fact that your sexual passions are integrated into your vocation, which is to be faithful to that one person in the bond of marriage, and therefore having sexual intimacy with your spouse and with nobody else. For the single person, integrating their sexuality into their vocation in life, they have to remain pure. And that energy that we have that calls us to be intimate and life-giving is lived out in pure and chaste ways, service to the community, again, consistent with their vocation. So we all have to live the virtue of chastity. The vow of chastity taken by some reminds us all of that, reminds us of the very purpose of the human body and of human sexuality. In other words, ironically, those who are privileged to live the gift of marriage can only understand it in the context of the entire church, when we see those who have, because of their embrace of the kingdom, renounced it in this life. Same thing is true of possessions. Again, religious take the vows of poverty. Well, that's not because possessions are bad, but it's because all of us are called to live the virtue of poverty. What did the Lord Jesus say? "Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." To renounce our possessions, some do it, again, literally and physically, do not own anything or renounce their rights to determine how the things that they own are used. Well, that's a reminder to the rest of us that as we do legitimately own things and use the things that we own in the way that we choose and obtain more things in just ways, which is, again, perfectly legitimate, we are reminded that these possessions are not where our happiness lies. The existence of religious people and communities within the church reminds us, don't put your hope, don't put your trust, don't try to find your ultimate joy in the things you possess. Find your ultimate hope and trust and joy in the Lord. He's the one who gives you those things. Again, it's not saying the things are bad. It's reminding us he's the one that gives us these things. And he gives us these things so that they can take us back to him. That's what the witness of the vow of poverty in our world and in our church is meant to accomplish. The vow of obedience. Again, these people are voluntarily limiting their own freedom to go where they want and do what they please, or even to visit their family. They are under strict obedience, asking permission. Well, it's a reminder to all of us, isn't it? The majority of us who are not religious brothers or sisters, we're not living in that community, we're not taking the vow of obedience, but it's a reminder of the virtue of obedience. That every one of us, in every choice we make, have got to be saying what we say in the Our Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done not only in the whole earth, but in this earth, O Lord, this earth represented by this body, me. Thy will be done in this earth by my choices, by my words, by my very thoughts, everything I choose in work, in leisure, in relationships, in conversations, in emails that I send, in social media posts that I post, in everything I do, O Lord, let me be obedient to you. Because that, is, again, is where we find our holiness, our salvation, our joy. So thank God for Saint Benedict and his rule, for all the founders of religious communities, among which Saint Benedict is one of the most fundamental, one of the most well-known, but so many founders of what seems to be at times countless religious communities of men and of women, and of other structures within the church, which may not technically be religious communities, but which involve various levels of embracing these evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. For all of this, we give thanks today. We pray in this Mass for those who have embraced the religious and consecrated life in all its various forms. We thank them for their witness. We pray for their fidelity. And we promise to live the virtues that we're all called to, which their vows represent. Saint Benedict, pray for us and pray for all religious. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.